History doesn't know my name. I'm only known as a thief. Come from a small town named Nazareth. You know, there's a saying from my town. There's nothing good that comes from Nazareth. In my case, it's true. You know, it's strange too, because I grew up in a kind of a wealthy family. I had all the privileges. But my family, what they taught me, what was most important, was money, material possessions, being well thought of, popular. And that we were better than most people. My parents didn't teach me about God. I can't really remember going to the synagogue all that much. I mean, they didn't say it, but they taught me through their actions. Other things were more important than God. Any excuse my father had not to go to the synagogue, he used. So you know, or you can imagine what kind of kid I was. I really lived for myself. That's what I was taught. It's all about me. Thinking I was better than other people. I was a bully. I picked on everybody. There was this one kid, and I probably picked on the most. His name was Jesus. He was pathetic. He was weak. He never fought back. Never said a bad word back to me. Never retaliated in any way. I showed him no mercy. Yeah, he was always going to the synagogue. He was always doing what seemed right. Quoting the prophets, talking about God. You know, what I learned about God is God helps those who help themselves. God put us here for us to have what we want. You know, I couldn't wait to grow up and get away from my parents and get away from that nasty little town, Nazareth. So as soon as I could, demanded that my father give me his inheritance, the part that was mine, and I left. Started living for myself. Oh yeah, it was good times too. Partying. Women. Not to fall in love, you see. That's such a cheap word nowadays, love. Nah, what most people call love is lust, where you use people for your own pleasure. And that's what I did. Partying. Drunk most of the time. After a couple of years, my inheritance ran out. Went back to my father to see if he'd give me some more, and he wouldn't. He wouldn't give me any money. He's the one that taught me this life. So he was the first one that I beat up. I hurt real bad, and I took the money. And if you're willing to beat up your own father, anybody's fair game. And that's what I did. And I hurt people. And I took what they had. I became a thief. And that's who I was. Well, the Romans finally caught up to me and arrested me, put me in prison, sentenced me to death. Well, that day finally came. I was to be crucified, to carry that cross up to Golgotha on the outskirts of town, because that's where the Romans like to crucify people. Found out I was to be crucified with two other criminals. When they came out, I couldn't believe it. It was Jesus. That goody two-shoe. He was there. Oh, it was hard to recognize him. They had beaten him so bad and whipped him. But it was him. You know, he had become some sort of prophet. He had spoken all over Jerusalem and Israel. Guess the Romans had enough of him. I heard him one time. He was talking about sin, judgment. He even said something like, "All you who are heavy laden, burdened, come to him and he'd give you rest." Like he was some sort of savior. Some of the things he said actually rang true a little bit. But then I saw one of his disciples. His name was Judas. He's a thief. I know him. And I figured, well, that's the kind of people that follow Jesus. Why do I need to follow Jesus? They're no different than me. They took us up Golgotha. They crucified us. They put Jesus in the middle. It's kind of hard to describe what crucifixion is like. Pain. The worst pain I've ever felt. Your whole body aches, your joints ache, your muscles ache. It's hard to breathe. And in the sun, you get so thirsty. It's like the pain never stops. But even in my pain, Jesus was in more pain. Yeah. They tied us to the cross. But Him, they drove nails through His hands and His feet. I was glad to see Him in that pain. He was in more pain than I was. I even mocked Him. I said, "Hey, Jesus! You were always so good, weren't you? But look at you. You're in the same place I am." I tried to spit on Him, but I didn't have any spit left. But you know, it was just like when we were kids. He didn't say anything back to me. He just looked over at me. It was hard to see all the blood that was running down His face. But I know He was looking on me with pity. You could tell He felt sorry for me. We were up there for hours. And on the cross, hours seemed like days. Kept going until I heard Him say, "It is finished." Then I heard Him breathe His last. At that moment there was this earthquake. Everything moved. I heard the Roman centurion say, "Truly this was a righteous man. Jesus was the Son of God." Funny thing to hear from a Roman. You know, I can say this about Jesus. I can say this. He didn't resist. He didn't resist the Romans even when they put those nails in Him. He didn't yell at them. He didn't say anything to them. Except, "Father, forgive them." When we were carrying our crosses up to Golgotha, it was like He first wrapped Himself around His cross like He wanted the cross. It was like He was on some sort of mission. Like that's what He planned to do all along. He didn't say anything when the Pharisees mocked him. Didn't say anything to me either. It was like he was determined that day to be crucified. Shortly after he died and that little earthquake happened, the Romans broke my legs. You see, when you can't push up on the cross, you can't breathe. Your legs broken, you just suffocate. It didn't take long.
Child, is it too late to rest on Mary's lap? Is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. Thank you.
history did not know my name. Only thief. It's recorded in the book of Luke chapter 23. There was also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Verse 35, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." An inscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." "Which one was I?" he asked. Then I said, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Surely I say to you, today, you'll be with me in paradise. I am no longer known as a thief, but a child of God." Why the change of heart? That day upon the cross, I saw myself for the first time. A wretched sinner, like everybody else. I'm no better, and I'm no worse. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Jesus, He didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve to die that day, but He did. And He was on mission. My heart changed on that cross. And the man I once reviled and hated, I needed him. And I needed him. And I wanted him. I needed him to remember me. You see, it's why he came. It's the reason of his life. If you could go to the next slide for me up there, folks. See, that's why he came. To save that which was lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He lived the life we couldn't. Starting right here. He experienced everything we do. Even being picked on by a bully. He lived life tempted in everything we are, but without sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God who died upon a cross for our sin. And that day I realized it was my sin. And I turned to Him. I changed my heart. My heart changed towards Him. It's what you call repentance. Turning from sin, turning from ourselves, and putting our faith in God. And Jesus said, whoever calls on my name, I will save, and I will make a new creation out of you. No longer a thief, but a child of God. I am who He says I am. Can we sing that song? Because if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Sing it with us, folks. Be seated. Go ahead. There was a moment upon this cross that each one of you needs to have. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Back that up. You must be born again. What does that mean? It's not just saying a prayer. It's not getting baptized, and it's not coming to church. It's realizing deep down inside who you really are. We're liars, we're thieves. We're murderers, we're adulterers, we're fornicators. We're liars to the hilt. For all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. Glory of God is Jesus Christ Himself. None of us match. And because of our sin, we're separated from a holy God who is just in all His ways, and He will judge all sin, and He will judge all sinners. But He loves us enough that He gave us a way out. And you have to take that moment, a real moment God offers to you, when you understand who you are and you realize the judgment of God's coming on you and you need a Savior, and that's Jesus. And you have to turn, want to turn from your sin, because your sin is a shame on you. There's a guilt, there's a dirtiness to you. And when you finally realize how dirty you are, you have to have that moment with God in faith, with the mediator, Jesus Christ in between. Because He is the way and the truth and the life, and there's no other way to have your sins forgiven but through Jesus Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For one believes with the heart unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to call on Jesus. You have to have a real moment where you are spiritually born again. That's the moment I had on the cross. How did you know it was there? How do you know it was real? My heart changed towards Jesus Christ. I needed Him. I wanted Him. And if I could have got off that cross and followed Him, I would have done it. I didn't have that opportunity. But you, I pray, everyone listening to my voice, if you hadn't had that real moment, you need to have it. It's real. It's not religious. And if He can do it for me, He can do it for anybody. And He can. Whosoever. Doesn't matter what you've done. He can forgive and restore, redeem. He'll set you free. That's why He came. That's why He went to the cross. And that's why He came out of that grave 3 days later to prove He was God in human flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He lived the life we couldn't to save us. It's up to you to go to Him in faith for what He has done. Confess your sins to Him. Be born again. Broken heart before Jesus. And He'll make you whole. He'll clean you up from the inside out. And you'll be a child of God. Now finally, for those who have been born again, those who have been redeemed, the greatest gift you'll ever have, that's what Christmas is all about. There's nothing better. If you don't have this gift, you'll be judged one day and go to hell. And hell's real. But this is the gift. He's the gift. He's the reward. He's everything. And if you have Him, truly have Him, and your life has been changed, then he told you, he told those who believe in him to do exactly what he did, but in a different way. Jesus said this, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, herself. It's not about you anymore. Your life is not about you. Deny himself, herself. Take up his or her cross and follow him. It's not easy. But it's what we're called to do. It wasn't easy for Jesus to be on that cross for you either. If you've been truly born again, pick up your cross. And go out into the world. And take the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. Don't keep it for yourself. Die to self. Will you follow him? You believe in the baby Jesus and you're celebrating him. That's good. But will you follow him? Merry Christmas.